is such a great day. God is such a good God. He's so worthy to be praised. He is worthy. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. He said, I'll go, Lord. Send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. He took on every weight. He took on every curse. He took on every lack. He took on every sin so that we could be declared righteous. We have a right to praise this morning. We have a right to speak a thing and see it established. We have a right to jump. We have a right to sing. We have a right to praise His holy name. The word says, let there be a shout. Let there be a shout. We will praise You. Lord, we're not going to let rocks cry out. We're going to praise You with everything we have because You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
I praise in the valley. I praise on the mountain. I praise cause I'm sure. I praise with no doubting. I praise when I'm numbered. I praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning. And as long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul.
Come on and praise Him.
Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. I praise when I feel it. I praise if I don't. I praise cause I know You're still in control.
Still in control.
My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound,
more than a sound.
And my praise is the shout that brings Jericho down.
Hey, as long as I'm breathing,
as long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on and praise Him.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Hallelujah. We're going to praise Him this morning. You are worthy. You are worthy.
I praise because You're sovereign. Praise because You reign. Praise because You rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause You're faithful. Praise cause You're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than You.
I praise
cause You're sovereign. Praise cause You reign. Praise cause You rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause You're faithful. Praise cause You're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than You. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. My God is alive.
Hey,
how could I keep it inside?
Come on and praise Him.
Why yeah. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
Oh, praise Him.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh, we're going to praise Him with everything we have. You are worthy, Lord. You are holy, God.
I praise because You're sovereign. Praise cause You reign. Praise cause You rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause You're faithful. Praise cause You're true. I praise cause there's nobody greater than You. I praise cause You're sovereign. Praise cause You reign. Praise cause You rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause You're faithful. Praise cause You're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than You.
God is
is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Hallelujah. God, we thank you. Thank you, God. You're so good. We're not going to keep our praise inside. Thank you, God. We're not letting rocks cry out in our place. God, you're worthy of praise. Worthy of praise. You're worthy of praise. Come on. You're worthy of praise. Let's sing that one more time. Come on. You're worthy of praise. And you're worthy of praise. Come on, every voice.
You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of praise. I was walking the wayside, lost on a lonely road. I was chasing the high life, trying to satisfy my soul. All the lies I believed in left me crying like the rain. Then I saw lightning from heaven, and I've never been the same. I'm going to climb a mountain, I'm going to shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a world of freedom, I found a friend in Jesus. I am a child of love. Of the fire, but I saw you in the flames. Just when I thought it was over, you brought me out of the grave. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna climb a mountain,
I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a world of freedom, I found a friend of Jesus. I am a child of love. I'm going to climb a mountain. I'm going to shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a world of freedom. I found a friend of Jesus. I am a child of love. Let me hear you say, yeah.
Can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. Let's declare that together.
Nothing can change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do.
Let's sing that again one more time.
Nothing can change. Nothing can change the way love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. I'm going to climb a mountain. I'm going to shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a world of freedom. I found a friend of Jesus. I am a child of love.
I'm going to climb a mountain.
I'm going to climb a mountain. I'm going to shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a world of freedom. I found a friend of Jesus. I am a child of love. Let me hear you say, yeah.
That nothing can change. Nothing can stop your love. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too strong. Oh, we thank you, God. We love you. Oh, we declare it. Nothing can change. Nothing
can take the way you love me. Nothing can take the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. Nothing can change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found the world of freedom. I found the bread of Jesus. I am a child of love. Let me hear you say yeah.
Nothing and no one, no height, no depth, no thing present nor thing to come, no thing that I see can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate. 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 Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for a move of God. Now this morning, let this be the cry of our heart to our Lord this morning. Lift your hands all over the room. Lift your eyes to look to the heavens where help comes from. Lord, we're so hungry. Lord, we need you. Lord, we want you. You're all we're desiring this morning. We're going to sing this again. Hungry for a move of God. And Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Hungry for a move of God. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm so thirsty.
Lord, I'm longing
to see the hand.
you can use me, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet, and touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, my life is yours.
And take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
And my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If
you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
You can use us. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands.
And take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take our hands, Lord, and our feet. Touch our heart, Lord. Speak through us. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Oh. Hold on. Right now, just lift your hands. If we will, let's just begin to worship him right now. Piano, if you'll start back up right where we were. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In this room are vessels that are able to be used, vessels that are able to be filled, vessels of honorable use. And I thank you that in this room, the hungry have come assembling this morning. The hungry have come. The hungry have come. Just say with me, if you will. Say, Lord, I'm hungry. I will be filled. Say it again, if you will. Lord, I'm hungry. I will be filled. Lord, I'm hungry. I will be filled. Lord, I'm hungry. I will be filled. I will be filled. I will be filled this morning. We shall be filled. We shall be filled. We shall be. This morning, there's a confidence that we're bringing into the throne room. There's a confidence that we're singing these songs in. A declaration of who we are. The hungry, the thirsty, but the filled and the satisfied. The hungry, the thirsty, the filled and the satisfied. Now, as we go into this next song, we declared who we were. Now, as we declare who we are those that sing and watch as enemies flee. We're those that release a praise and the presence of God comes in the room. We are those that shall not be denied. And this morning, God, let your way be in this house. Hallelujah. Now let's start this song strong. Let's start it strong. Everywhere I look, everywhere I look, everywhere I look, blessing. Everywhere I look, blessing. Everywhere I go, blessing. Everywhere I sow, blessing. It's overtaken me. Everywhere I look, blessing. Everywhere I go, blessing. Everywhere I sow, blessing. It's overtaken me. It's overtaken me. It's overtaken me. Everywhere I Jesus, 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 Jesus. You are holy, God. Oh, Jesus, we have the victory. We have the victory. And when we praise, it's a manifestation of that victory. praised. He's so worthy to be praised. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
And when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus,
I could shout.
I could shout, 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 shout.
When I think about Jesus,
I could run.
Of this building. You are Lord of this property. If you will, let's just lift our hands to Him and worship Him. Jesus, you are mighty. You are holy. You are awesome. You are great. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Signs and wonders fill the presence of our God. Fill the presence of our God. And we know, according to the word, where does His presence ride in on? The praises of His people. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. You are awesome. Lord, have your way in the house this morning. We yield to you. We love you. And we come expectantly shouting the praises of God in this house. If your day to receive is today, give Him a loud amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good morning. morning.
How are you?
Good.
Anybody ready to receive?
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome this morning to Boomerang Church, a house of love and prayer, living in His glory and abundance, winning souls and making disciples for Jesus. Turn around, tell somebody hello, give them a high five. Tell them today is your day. Amen. Glory to God. If you're watching online, get ready to receive. Today's your day.
It's a great day.
There is something special on today. And you're going to enjoy it. You're going to receive from it. Get ready for today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Listen
so
to the buzz.
It's so good to see everybody. They're all excited.
Amen. Good
like
job.
It's a family day.
Amen.
Because they know food's coming.
When you're done, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Man, everybody just like buzzed, said hello, and then everybody got quiet and sat down. So this week's going to be like last week. There won't be the normal offering time at the front. It'll be basically throughout the message and at the end. So if you need the normal bathroom exodus, please have your way now. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, what you must do, go and do quickly. Amen. So... hallelujah. Just giving you a fair warning. And we love you. And I'm going to let you say hello and greet the people.
Oh, don't leave me.
No, no.
Because I have questions. You do all this traveling, right? Like, you travel a lot.
I do.
Okay. Have you figured out what kind of chocolate they sell at the airport? It's plain chocolate.
I'm so happy right now.
Let your face show it. Do you know why the pediatrician...
No, don't leave me. Sit down.
Okay, I'll tell y'all. Okay. Can't even see y'all. I'm crying. I'm not even kidding. Okay. Why did the pediatrician keep losing his temper? Because he just had little patience. It's so good. Y'all, I hadn't even had any coffee today, and I'm just like raring to go. I'm holding myself back because it's like so many I could do. Okay, last one. Did y'all know that there's only a fine line between a numerator and a denominator? Only a fraction of y'all are going to get it. Pastor likes the nerdy jokes. If you didn't get it, it's okay. You're not part of that fraction. Oh, it's a great day. Goodness. I really am crying. I didn't even wear waterproof mascara. Thank you, baby. Happy birthday day after. As with any 23-year-old, we had a family bluey party. We even got Pastor and William in a, what do you call those things, like a tropical bluey shirt. Yeah. And Luke. Oh, Bluey is some little blue dog. I don't know. He's some little blue dog that's supposed to be for those little patients, but my 23-year-old likes him a whole lot. So it was a fun day. It's a beautiful weekend. Look, Pastor's got a phenomenal word this morning. So I'm telling you, be hungry, be ready to receive. Like I said what I said on purpose. If you're not from down south, I didn't jack up my word. It was on purpose. There's like, oh, I could eat. And there's like, I'm kind of hungry. But down here, when you're like well beyond that, like, you know, you need a Snickers, that's when you're hungry. I'm telling you, get hungry for the word. I was talking to somebody this week, and it was a beautiful, beautiful testimony. It's one of our partners, not in North Carolina, but she just reached out and was letting me know that she really recommitted herself to the Lord. Now, this is an adult woman, served the Lord, served on worship teams, gone to Bible school and everything else. But she had been filling up just on worldly junk food, you know, watching TV, the boob tube makes you act like a boob, you know, the radio with just junk. Of course, some Christian songs are junk too. You know, but here's the thing. And see, that's the thing. That's why the word says be hot or be cold, not lukewarm. And there's a lot of stuff out there that slaps the label of Christian on it, and it's just flat out lukewarm. If this stuff doesn't make you want to shout and praise your King, throw it away. I don't care what label is on it. But she had been filling up on just junk. And she's like, you know what? I've not been praying, hadn't even desired to worship, and I realized there's something wrong with that. I am a worshiper, and that's not just because she sits on the platform and holds a mic and sings. Every one of us are worshipers. Every one of us are praisers, and if we get to the point that we don't want to praise and worship, we don't want to pray, like that's something, that's a good sign that we're not hungry. And she's like, you know what? That was a sign. I didn't want to praise. And I realized I can't lead my kids in the way that they need to go if I'm not hungry for the Lord and feasting on His Word. So I say all that to say, if you've not been hungry, that's okay. Just make a purpose decision right now, same way that she did. She said, Pastor Nicole, I'm sending you this testimony. I want you to hold me accountable when I come to you. I want you to ask me questions. I want you to put a demand on my answers. And she was holding herself accountable. And that's the decision we need to make. Is, you know what? Hey, hold me accountable. Ask questions. Like we should be going, what's up with this? How you doing? What songs you been listening to? I was like, oh, let me brag on the Boomer Chickas for a minute, y'all. This is all free. Pat didn't even paid me to say all this. He's probably saying, hurry up and sit down. I got something to do. Anyway, so Sydney had just some attacks this week. And what did she do? Exactly what she needed to do. She reached out to her life group leader for wise counsel, but then she came to the Boomer Chickas Voxer line. If you're visiting here, we have an app. It's called Voxer with a V. And it's kind of like a walkie-talkie. You can walk and talk, and you can push a button and talk, and you can type and talk. It's a really neat app. Good way to keep in contact with each other. But we've got a group with a bunch of the ladies. If you're a lady that's here, that's planted here, and you're not on that, see another lady and get on that. But Sydney reached out. She's like, hey, I need to praise. Send me your on fire praise songs. What makes you want to jump up and shout and praise the King? And man alive. All you ladies jumped in and was like, how about this? And, oh, I've got too many of my favorites, but here's three or four, and here's this one, and here's that one. And the ladies were supporting each other, sending praise songs left and right. And then Grayson went and made a whole big old playlist and sent it out to everybody. And I've already utilized it. I didn't need to praise because something was going on. I wanted to praise. And I'm like, I'm going to praise with my chicks. So I put that thing on. That's what we need to do. That's what hungry is all about. It's going, you know what? I need something. Let me pull on the anointing. You know what? I don't need anything. I just want to praise. Let me pull on the anointing. And I'm telling you today, pull on the anointing. If you didn't come hungry, choose to be hungry. Choose to put it on right now and go, you know what? There is always, always room for pound cake. Especially if Amy Presley makes it. And you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on, what we've eaten, how much, you know, the buttons are about to pop. Pound cake comes out from Amy Presley, and it's like, I found a spot. Give me a bite. Right? And that's what we got to do. If something's been going on this week and you've been filled up with just junk, just go ahead and stand up and make some room. Okay? It's going to be a great day. And after, we're going to be hungry again. Because you people can cook. And I know it. And we've got a covered dish back in the back. If y'all were visiting, I am telling you, as the mama of this church, you are invited and welcome. and desired to attend. I don't care if you didn't bring anything to contribute. Your presence is a contribution. So plan. When the service is over, stick around and plan to eat and fellowship. It is a beautiful day. I'm hoping we've got our little cornhole thing and some other games that we can play. And we're just going to have a fun family day because that's what God's about. He's about family. Y'all know it? You ready? All righty. I revved them up. They're hungry. Anybody need to stand up?
Amen. We can dismiss the super kids. Super kids, have fun. Bye, buddy. That mic's still on.
Nope, sorry, y'all. Wiki, wiki, word.
Like it or not, I'm in covenant. Amen. I'm in covenant. How's everybody doing?
Good.
You had a good week?
Yes.
Amen. Anybody had a challenging week? Don't raise your hand, but we're praying over it. Amen. We had several challenges, I heard, that come up. But you know what? It doesn't change the Word of God. A challenge or a test or a trial or a weapon formed against you, it does not change the promises of God. It doesn't change what Jesus has paid for. It doesn't change His character and His nature. And you might have messed it up or you might be under major attack, but He is the same. He is the same. Amen. And the thing about that is, His name is greater than anything you can face. Every authority and power and victory is in that name. So no matter what you've seen, take hope. And the Bible actually teaches us, in spite of how you feel, in spite of how it looks, take hope. Take hope. Put it on. Put on hope. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, right? Three things abide: faith, hope, and love. Amen. Three things. Three. Three things. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 11. And like I said on the offering today, it's all day, but definitely we'll talk about it at the end of this. And last week we started talking about come to Jesus and call on Him. Come to Him. And call on Him, right? And we talked about how everybody in the New Testament in some way came to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they saw results. When they came to Jesus, they saw results. Do you think you are in any different scenario? But if you will come to Jesus, will you see results? Do you have a right to believe that? Now, the thing is, the devil's taught many people through corruption, the devil's taught many people that just family, you know, it's family, and you mess with one another every now and then. The devil's taught many people many times that you come to Jesus and sometimes it works. Now, see, that's a lie. No. When we come to Jesus, we have a Savior that's already paid the price, already done the work, and it works every time. When we come to Him in faith, it works every time. Say that with me. Say, when I come to Jesus, with my faith, it works every time. Every time. Every time. Amen. You got to get that in you. If you don't have that in you, what will happen is you'll come and you'll start expecting religiously. You come expecting religiously and you're only going to get those results. And you'll just receive the mercy of God every now and then instead of the love of God every time. The love of God every time. We always win. Why? Because we always take Him by the hand. We always apply faith, hope, and love. And he says, when you take Jesus by the hand, 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. When I take Him by the hand, I have triumph. We just have to do it His way. Now, the thing is, we've learned to do it other ways besides His way. The world's been a very good teacher at teaching us the not Jesus ways, the anti-Christ ways. The world's been a very good... Think about this. Anything that is not like Christ would do it is anti-Christ. It's anti-Christ. And that's the system. And the further we get in time towards the return of the Lord, the closer we get and the more concentrated anti-Christ ways become. So the more you get to the end of time, the more anti-Christ ways will come. This is why in the end times, they'll basically say that things that are good will be bad and bad things are good, right? And we're seeing that today. Things that should be holy, they're not esteemed, they're not honored, and things that are just totally irreverent are worshipped, right? And you're seeing that more and more and more. I've noticed recently an uptick in horror films. Like, you turn everywhere it seems you turn, there's more and more horror films. God has not given you a spirit of fear. The world may have taught you, well, this is what I like. But no, He hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Don't put in an antichrist spirit into your thinking. Stop watching that garbage. Like, we just skip right past that. We don't even talk. If that's the category it's in, we're not watching anything in that. Why? I don't want to put that in. It's why I don't watch a bunch of doctor shows, because I don't want to put death in all the time. I don't watch a ton of war shows. Why? Because I don't want war in my head all the time. No, I want victory in my head. I want the victory of Christ in my head, in my soul, so it's not fighting against me. All right, so when we see this push at the end of the age towards antichrist things, one of those things is to not come to Jesus. And you'll notice today, I remember seeing it grow as I grew up. And it grew and it grew and it grew. Used to, you'd go out on Sunday morning and there'd be no cars on the road, right? Everybody would either be at home or at church. It was one or the other. But they even honored church when they were at home. But today it's not like that. You just go down on 24/27. There's all kinds of boats going to the lake. People would party, filling up their coolers, doing everything but honoring God. The closer we get to the end of time, you're going to see more and more, watch, self-worship. Self-worship. But you're going to see more and more of people that are not born again that will despise coming to Jesus. Coming to church, doing it His way. Now, you're here, so I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you, this is something that you want to recognize. So, you're here this morning. You recognize, hey, Lord, I want to honor You. But I want you to see this. There may be other ways throughout the week, and even in today's service, where you're not coming to Him fully, and it is just as antichrist to step away from Him and let those thoughts hold you away from coming to God. We want to come to Him. We talked about it last week, that coming to Him, you can sit in church all your life and never come to Jesus. This is what's going to happen with many people. They'll get up to heaven, they'll say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew You. Right? They went to church all their life, and they thought they came to Jesus, but they never actually came to Christ with an open heart. They had a hardened heart. They never received Him. They never made Him Lord. So we can sit here, even in this great church, and we have a great church. But even in this church, you can sit there and you can have junk going on all throughout the week. And all of a sudden, all throughout the week, you're sitting there and you're thinking this morning, man, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do? And you don't realize it. But right in the moment when you should be receiving what you need, you're not receiving it because your mind and your heart is shut down. And so theoretically actually, you're not coming to Jesus. You're in place, but it's like a seed being planted with its roots wrapped up, it's not receiving what it needs to. So I'm coming to him physically, but I'm not coming spiritually and mentally. And so effectively, it's not working. This also is antichrist. We got to come with our heart. Remember the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Came to Jesus. Actually longed to be a part of what Jesus was doing. But did he actually come to him? No. He came to him, but his heart was shut down towards doing it the way Jesus wanted him to do it. And so he didn't actually come to Jesus in that moment. This is what we want to examine. So we're talking in these 2 weeks about coming to Jesus and calling on Jesus. A part of coming to Jesus is calling on him. Calling on him. So many people, they'll come to Jesus in the terms of coming to church, but when they get in a jam, the first thing they do is go to the medicine cabinet, go to the doctor, go to everything, and they actually don't call on him, or they call on him, but it's not real because they actually have some of that religion in them thinking, this is probably not going to work anyway. Yeah. So let me go ahead and call the doctor, or let me go ahead and do this. Not against doctors. The Lord tells you to go, go. But the first place you want to go to as a believer is to Jesus. You want to come to him and you want to call on him. So Matthew 11, 28 says this, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This coming to him is obedience to him. This coming to him is obedience to him. Now, before we go any further, let me give you something. Get 1 Corinthians 4:4 ready. But let me ask you this. How many people you came to Boomerang and you're not evil? That's good. That's good. It's making me happy. The more hands go up, the better I feel. Good. All right. Most people are not evil. Most people are not evil. And what I mean by that is they don't do things bad and wrong on purpose. Helping you out, amen. Good. They're not evil. They're not vindictive. They're actually what they do. They're doing because they think it's right. But not everybody knows what's right. In my opinion, I said this several years ago, or many years ago now. In my opinion, most of the people in the American church are actually doing around 60% right. That's my opinion. That's a lot wrong. That adds up a lot. And the issue is not that they're evil, they're just deceived. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know what's actually right to do. They're not evil. They just don't know what's actually wrong. How many people, when you came to Boomerang, you're not evil, but since you've gotten here, you've learned something else? Some new way of doing something. Now, what's the odds that there's still some more out there that you don't know yet? Now, this verse is one that really came alive to me recently. 1 Corinthians 4:4. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. Now, okay, let's get this straight. The Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, and look at what he's saying here, the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I am conscious of nothing against myself." In other words, what he's saying is, if I'm missing it, if I'm messing up, if I'm in sin, I don't know it. I don't know it. Can you see that? I am conscious of nothing against myself. And then he says this, yet I am not by this acquitted. So I'm not free and clear just because I'm unaware of what I might be doing wrong. And what he's saying is that my knowledge of what's right and wrong is not all of what's right and wrong. He goes on to say, but the one who examines me is the Lord. In other words, that means this is the Apostle Paul saying, I recognize that there could be stuff I'm doing wrong and I don't even know about it yet. This is humility, and this is actually the heart that the Holy Spirit gives to him to write to the church about, which means this is the heart that we need to have as well. In other words, have you ever had some... We had a situation... Where's Barrett at? We had a situation a few weeks ago, and Barrett was doing something, and we got to lunch, and I said, Barrett, did you realize you were wrong in this? And her face told it all. She was like... And you could tell she had no idea that she had missed it in the slightest. None, right? I mean, you could tell it by her face. She had no idea about that. I said, yeah. I said, here's where it is. And I don't know what prompted this, but you got a little bit in the flesh here and you were out of the spirit. Now, according to her, her conscience hadn't told her any part of that. But then, because of humility... She said, Pastor, I believe you. I don't know. I don't know. I said, well, I said, just ask the Lord. He'll show you what you need to know. I said, but understand that this was off right here. That afternoon and that evening, I believe it was, right? She went back and she was talking to the Lord. She said, Lord, what is this? All of a sudden, the Lord opened it up, showed her exactly where she missed it, how she missed it, and now she grew because of that. She grew because of that. And it wasn't a huge thing, but those little things make big differences when you're flowing in the kingdom of God. But see, most of the time when you have any correction for somebody, they're like, I was not. And see, as far as their conscience goes, they think that they were right. They had nothing telling them that they were wrong. But Paul says, by this I'm not acquitted. In other words, this doesn't make me free and clear of any wrongdoing. Just because I don't know it. No, that doesn't make me free and clear of any wrongdoing. That just means I don't know it yet. I don't know it yet. See, and when I say that the church is getting 60% right, which makes 40% wrong, then I'm not saying that they're evil. I'm just saying that they don't know what they don't know yet. And this is why we want to go after the Lord. And this is where humility and obedience says, come to me. Stop thinking you got everything together. Who here knows everything there is to know about God? Anybody? Any takers? You want to stand before the throne and say, Lord, I know everything there is to know about you. No, even the Apostle Paul says, I don't know. I don't know. And one of the things that you see is when we come to him, we've got to be willing to be wrong. Yeah, we've got to be humble, teachable, right? We've got to be the clay in the potter's hands. This is a part of coming to him. Lord, show me. And so, you know, I talk to ministers all the time. I talk to 3 or 4 ministers all over the country and all over the world just this week, and talking to them about ministry and how to go about it. And it's funny how you'll bring up something. Recently, I had a conversation with a minister, and I'm like, this is something you're asking me for my opinion. Okay, here's my opinion. You need to change this. This is bad. I was more diplomatic. But then they start defending why they were that way. No, that's not what you want to do. If you've got somebody that loves you, that has oversight in your life, that has spiritual authority and wisdom and revelation, even if they are wrong, even if they're wrong, I would listen to every word that they say on that. Okay, talk to me. Tell me why. I might not agree with you, and I might not know why. Just like Barrett didn't agree that day that it was wrong. She said, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't know. And so She said, but I'll trust you. I'll ask the Lord about it. And then the Lord showed her exactly what prompted it, what spurred that. And all of a sudden she learned and got better. This is how in business, in ministry, in discipleship, in winning people to the Lord, you can get better and better and better by humbling yourself to come to Him. Say, Lord, I want to get better at this. And when I was pastoring, when we first pastored, the first like 10 years really stunk. Like we had a lot of fruit, but as far as where our heart and mind was and our like encouragement in the Lord, it stunk. Like it was not fun. I didn't like it. I was struggling, really, especially the first 5 years. But I was doing the best that I knew how. But does that equip me? No. Does that give me a free and clear pass? Does that make me innocent just because I didn't know something? No. But over time, we really did everything that we knew how to do, and it still just wasn't working as a church. It wasn't working. And now watch this. And I said, this is something I think that is so important that so many people miss. And I came to the conclusion, and I was right about this, that the reason it's not working is the condition and the thinking of society. Society, well, actually, the American church has so programmed the people in the American church, they don't know how to be a church today. They don't know what it's like. They think you come to church and it's comfortable. No, that's not what it's for. The spirit and the flesh are always at war with each other in their motivations. And that means when you're actually in a church that's motivated by the Holy Ghost, your flesh is not going to be comfortable. Your flesh is going to be agitated, aggravated, right? And so, but the American church leaders have taught everybody how to sell their church, finish at a very short time so everybody can get out and it's not too long. Feed them coffee and donuts and smoke machines and not ask anything out of the people. But the Bible teaches us that a church is a place for your growth. Anybody ever grown up? I didn't say grow out. I said grow up. Anybody ever have any growth pains? Yes. Right? When you're growing in this corrupted world, a lot of times it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And when you're growing in the spirit, your flesh is uncomfortable. Why? Because it's in corruption. And you're moving to a place of holiness. If you're growing in the spirit, you're moving to a place of holiness. Your flesh is uncomfortable. And the American church has basically taught all of the people going to American church, well, I wasn't comfortable there, so we're just not going back. Well, and that's what we were facing. I was raised in the church in the 80s and 90s, and man, you just said, we're going to have a special meeting. Man, it'd fill up. Yeah. It'd fill up. There wasn't as much entertainment. You know, we had like 3 channels if you had a pair of pliers. Or some good rabbit ears. Then you had 3 channels, and you might get channel 45 and 48. But one of the things that you saw, there was less entertainment, and there was less things to occupy people's time, and they didn't have phones and computers and all that stuff. And so at night, they didn't have Candy Crush to play. And series to binge watch. They didn't have it. And you'd have a revival. They're like, well, at least that's entertainment, you know. And they go, and people would fill up. So in 2009, when we started the church in our living room, I'm thinking, man, we are going to lift Jesus up. He's going to draw all people to Him. We're going to have the power of God. We're going to win souls, make disciples, have revelation, have miracles, have healing, and people are going to come by the thousands, at least by the hundreds, and they stayed away by the tens. It was amazing. We couldn't even get tens to come. And at the end of it, as I was looking at it, I realized society has changed. It's society that's really, I was like, you preach this message in the 80s or 90s, and you actually will create like an empire in the kingdom of God because of that. And I'm like, I'm preaching the same message they preach in the 80s and 90s without compromise, with the purity, and where are the people? And I was doing this, and it wasn't working. I was like, opening up, there was no people. And all of a sudden, I was like, Lord, what's going on? He said, society's changed. He said, actually, he said, the blessing of God on the country that happened in the revivals has hit the people, and the one generation away from that success and knowing that God's their source have forgotten what their source is. They're satisfied, and their money is their source. Their comfort is their source, and I have ceased to be their source, and the church, the American church as a whole, has taught them to do that. I was like, that's not good. He said, no. I was like, well, how do I change society? I mean, you ever face that question? How do you actually change society? Well, it starts with a culture. And then that culture spreads, and then that culture spreads. And it spreads from one person to a group of people to a church to a community, right? But that's how you change it, but you do it one person at a time. And you can decide if you're going to allow the culture of heaven to change you, and you're going to decide if I'm going to come to him or not. But now I want you to see this. This is the point that I was saying is so important, is it's not my fault that society's changed. I didn't change society. I've been hungry for the Lord the whole time. It's not my fault. But this is what I said to the Lord. But Lord, I know. You did not call me to pastor in this period of time for there to not be an answer and a way that I can help society change. Yeah. There's got to be an answer and there's got to be a way. I need you to show me what that is. And so for years, literal years, I went after him looking for an answer. I'd ask my spiritual leaders. I found no real answers, which is bad. That's not good. It's not good. I'll tell you, this is the question that I'm getting posed by pastors now from around the country. Texas, Louisiana, Oregon, Washington State. I'm having pastors, that's all in the last 4 weeks. Pastors calling saying, what do I do? Well, I got an answer for you because I found out what the answer is and it's working. Because we prayed and we fasted and we went after the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you that it's always going to be explosive. But I am telling you, you will grow in that way. Here's what I'm getting at is, were you willing to go to the Lord for other people? Yeah. Are you willing to come to him for other people and not just yourself? Yeah. It's like, as for me and my four and no more, we were fine. We're blessed. We're doing good, right? I didn't cause society's problem. No, but I'm here in society. And I have a responsibility because of that word of God, because I'm his child. Because I'm his child. You're his child. And you are here to be the salt and the light. You're not here to just be not on a log. You're not here to not change society. You're here to preach the gospel and to make disciples. You're here to change things. Yeah. That, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just on earth in my house, on earth. Period. And here's the thing. It might not even be your fault that got people in that place. But there's got to be an answer for you to help turn it. There's a part to play. There's something to do. But that starts with coming to him. Yeah. Now, of course, I have it all the time where people say, Pastor, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being a resource. Thank you for being a place that's alive. But I'm telling you, there was pressure pushing back to go the other way and not go after God and not come to Him and get the help that we need. We have to come to Him. We have to be willing to come to Him, even if it's not our fault.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that what Jesus did?
Yeah.
Which part of sin was His fault? Which part of the corrupted world was His fault? None of it. So we've got to get it in our heart. You're here for a purpose. And it starts with you. In other words, you know, if your household is an absolute mess, it's going to be hard to disciple other people. But you still called to disciple other people in spite of your current situation.
Yeah.
So if I need to help disciple, win souls and disciple other people, I got to get on top of my spiritual game. And I got to quit making excuses about it. And got to go after Him. Now, this is not just for me as a pastor, but this is for us as a church and you as an individual. We got to get serious about it. And especially now that the time's getting closer. We just finished in Boomerang University. I got a message from somebody this week. It's somebody that's a remote student. And somebody had actually, an evangelist, had given them the scholarship to the university. And they texted back to the evangelist and said, thank you so much for giving me Boomerang University. Thank you so much. My whole life has changed. My whole life has changed. Everything's changed. I'm hearing from the Lord. I'm talking with you. Everything. But see, we've got to be willing to be that group of people. We've got to be willing to make that change. Jesus came and paid for it when we had done nothing but be His enemy in sin. And now it's our time to get serious with this, but we just finished in Boomerang University, Eschatology 1, which is basically the teaching about end time events and end time prophecy. And if ever there was a time that it's clear that the signs of the end are upon us. We are in the last of the last days. Jesus could come at any time. He is coming soon. He is coming soon.
Yes.
Soon. He's coming soon. Very soon. And I reached out to a friend of ours, Dwayne Byerly. I said, what's the latest in the news? Because I've not been watching the news as much. I said, what's the latest in the news that shows signs of the times? And we had just got finished talking about how in the signs of the times, what will start to happen is there'll be a rebirth of Rome, basically, of that kingdom. A rebirth in that European sector in that way. And we had just talked about how, when it comes down to it, there'll be preparations for Israel to be at peace. He said, literally, right now in the news, the European Union is coming together as one to talk about what they're going to do. And Israel is in peace talks, and it's actually got traction to it.
Yeah.
Like, these are signs, not just of the rapture, these are signs of the end of the tribulation. Right? So we are super close to these things. It's like right now in the news, things are happening that are signs. And the Word tells us that when time gets close like that, you should gather all the more. You should win disciples all the more. You should become on fire. The reason you would gather is to grow up in the Lord and be who God's called you to be. I know right now, God's calling people, come up to a different level.
Yes.
Stop making excuses.
Yes.
Stop it. Stop making excuses. It's time to be serious about the things of God. Have fun in Him. Be in joy in Him. It's awesome. It is such a ride. You will not be bored if you're doing it right. But stop playing games and saying yes and delaying what you know you should be doing. It's time to come to Him. It's time to come to Him. So that's our first verse. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He says, he makes you this promise. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Life's not supposed to be hard and heavy. And you'll have so many people posting on social media because it makes them feel good for the struggle that they're going through. And you saw that become popular a few years ago. The struggle is real. No, the struggle is over. The struggle's over. That's why we put it on our confession. No, Jesus already won the victory. We need to apply the victory that he's already won. And they'll say, well, Jesus never promised it would be easy. This is literal red letters. It's actually Jesus. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Like, I think he did, actually. Actually, if we could take a moment and refer to Matthew 11, chapter 30, I think you're wrong. In love. Now, here's the thing. Does that mean, think about this. You notice in Corinthians that it said your momentary and light affliction. You ever been in an affliction that didn't feel momentary and didn't feel light? Anybody besides me ever been in one of those? This does not feel momentary. This does not feel light. I don't know what in the world the Apostle Paul was talking about. I'm a little concerned if Paul has lost his mind. Anybody ever felt that besides me? And then Jesus right here, he's like, it'll be easy and it'll be light. All right, Jesus, what are you talking about? All right, now here's what we know, that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. So we know these verses are true. So maybe there's an application that we don't know yet.
Yeah.
That we don't know. But see, this is what happens when we come to Him. When we come to Him, we find solutions and we find grace. Now, I love the example. When I was asking the Lord about this some years ago, look at this. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. And it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Have you ever noticed that when you're under pressure, you don't feel like being holy? I caught some chuckles under the breath here. What you gonna say now, Pastor? Like, You ever notice? It's interesting when you get under pressure. Like, I've been at the place, sometimes I've been like, you know, I got a cold or sick or something like that that I've had in the past. I'm sitting there and I know I should say, I'm the healed of the Lord. I don't even feel like saying it. I don't want to say, it's like, my flesh is literally fighting my spirit going, I don't want to say it. I'm like, you're sick. You're not feeling good. Shut up, flesh. But my flesh is like, no, I don't want to say it. And it's like my flesh all of a sudden gets lazy. I don't want to say it. Anybody ever notice that besides me? When you're under affliction, this is, notice what he says. He tells you right here how to work the word. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Who are you in Christ? Are you the healed of the Lord? Then you hold fast to that. Don't let the devil steal that confession out of your mouth. When your bank account looks low, hold fast to the confession that, beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. God is not withholding any good thing. Hold fast to your confession. He was made poor so that you might be rich, that you might have, 2 Corinthians 9, an abundance to do every good work.
Yeah.
See, that's what the devil's after. He's after your abundance so you can't do the good works of the cross, the good works of Christ. He's after that. And so, but in those moments when you feel like that, or you get the bank report, or something bounces, or whatever, or the lights turn off, you need to hold fast to your profession. He's telling you how to work the word. Hold fast.
Yeah.
Hold fast to your profession of faith. Don't let who you are in Christ be stripped away from you by the devil.
Yeah.
What he's done, the victory that he's already won, the struggle's over, he's already won it. You apply it with your faith. Jesus paid for it with stripes and nails. You pay for it just by speaking. Hold fast to that. We have the easy side. We have the easy side of it. All we have to do is apply the authority and the victory that he's already done. See this? All right. But now, I want you to see this. He says, let us hold fast our confession. So think about all this that you are in Christ. In salvation, You it's kind of like when you open up salvation, it's one big package, one big gift, but inside of it there's many gifts. And the first one is fellowship with God. And if you're in fellowship with God, you have everything that you need. But the second one is healing. So fellowship, healing, prosperity, deliverance, protection, restoration. Six different things. Fellowship, healing, prosperity, deliverance, protection, restoration. These are all in the package. So if I'm restored and the devil keeps talking to you about how bad you've been in the past, well, see, that's where you got to hold fast to your confession. No, it's not who you are. As he is, so are we in this world, not in the world to come, in this world. In this world, as he, Jesus, as he is, how is he? He's resurrected. He's alive. He's on the throne. He's not sick. He's not in poverty. No, as he is, so are we in this world. Hold fast. So anything that comes, basically, if something comes in your life and it doesn't look like what Jesus is right now, it's already been bought and paid for with his blood for you to be like him. For you to be like him. So stop taking the counterfeit. Well, that's just normal. In what world? In a corrupted world, it might be normal. But I'm in this world, but not of this world. I'm of a kingdom that's different. I'm in this world, but not of this world. So see, well, that's just normal. Which world are you taking your citizenship from? You see the difference? Which world are you receiving your citizenship from? He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, he understands the pressures of the flesh. He understands what makes you think the way that you think, and he can actually sympathize with that and help you even if you didn't really deserve the help. How many of us deserved his salvation? No, he sympathized with us. He sympathized with us and said, I'm going to send them help in spite of themselves. I'm going to send them help in spite. This is who he is. But see, we have this idea that as soon as we get born again, it's like when we were first born again, right before we got born again, we were the ugliest spiritually. I wanted to make sure that some people weren't like, man, he just called me ugly physically. I said spiritually. I want to be clear. It's a disclaimer. Spiritually, we were the most ugly we'd ever been. And then all of a sudden we get born again, and because we're conscious, of when we sin, because he's written his laws on our heart. All of a sudden, see, before you're born again, you didn't even realize. Before you're born again, you didn't even realize that you had all this sin in you. Then you get born again, and the Holy Spirit's written his laws on you, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I was doing really bad. Oh, this is bad. One time we led a lady to the Lord, and she came back to us. A couple weeks later, she called us. She said, what did y'all do to me? I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, used to, I would sin, and I didn't care anything about it. Now, every time I sin, I feel horrible. It's like, that's the Holy Ghost. Like, he's telling you, don't do that. Listen, don't do that. Now I feel horrible. Like, if you stop doing that, you won't feel horrible anymore. Easy, bud. Don't do that. That's why he's telling you, don't do that. But we have this idea that once we're born again, that, oh my goodness, he's not going to help us anymore. Oh, no. He actually, when you go